This morning we were reminding ourselves in the first seven verses of this chapter about this man Elijah who came from nowhere and how God had called him for a specific purpose. The purpose simply being that he was to warn the people about their neglect towards a holy God. And again in those seven verses, it was the word of God that was important. How God took him away from the company after delivering that message to Ahab and took him to the place beside the brook Cherith. And there for those years, God was to be with him. And we learned from that that oftentimes it's when we're away and we're alone with God that he gives us that blessing and he shows us his word. I want us to look at these next verses this evening. I lifted a book in my study, a book about the life of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And the title of the book was this, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, God's Man. If you know anything about Martin Lloyd-Jones, you'll recognize that he was a surgeon, a physician in no less a place than Hardley Street in London. And God took him from that great position, took him to Wales to a small church, and how God blessed him in that church. And then, of course, from that to Westminster Chapel, where he had a ministry that not only then, but now, delights the hearts of many of us as we read about him and the words that he has spoken or written about. And in a sense, this is what these next verses is all about. In verse 9 of the 8th verse of the chapter, we read about the word of God coming to him. And you know, the word that was promised to this great man of God is the same word for us this evening. God's inspired word. That's why, folks, that we would say, those of us who believe in a consecutive biblical teaching ministry, that it's important. Now, there's some people, and they say, well, why do you just not preach whatever you want to preach? Why do you have a consistent biblical ministry to teach us the Word of God? You know, as the Word comes to him again, it came to him in the first verse of that chapter. It comes to him again in verse 8. And this word comes to him in verse 9. I want you to go to this place called Zarephath. Now, that's an interesting word because it simply means a smelting furnace. And not far from here, I remember an uncle of mine. He was a smithy by profession or trade. And I remember the old furnace. He used to get it really hot. Into that furnace, he would cast the iron, and from it, he would make some wonderful things. And here is the Lord saying to this man, I want you to go to a furnace. I want you to go to a melting pot. I want you to go to a place that's not going to be easy. You know, folks, this evening, it's exactly the same today as it was in this man of God's life. It is not easy today. We are living as Christians in a very desperate position. It's a furnace. The world hates Christianity. The world has no time for biblical preaching. We know that many in the world have castigated men of God for their consistent biblical preaching. But you know, this evening, we take heart that God is on our side. So he sent him to this place. You know, the Lord Jesus referred to that. You turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 26. It says, and Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. You see, this was important. The Lord Jesus recognized why this man Elijah was sent to the place called Zarephath, a town that was some 7 miles south of Sidon, that was also called Sarepta. And this place was controlled by Ahab's father-in-law, who was called Ithbaal. Now you can imagine the stock that Jezebel was from, can't you? We hear about Ahab here. We know about Jezebel if we know our Bibles. The woman who hated Ahab, who sought to kill him. And here's this father-in-law lives in this place, no doubt has no time for the things of God. But here God was going to show his power in an area, as we said this morning, that was impotent because of Baal worship. And so as we look at verse 8 of the chapter, if you've got your Bible with you, here there was guidance for the journey. The word of the Lord came to him. I wonder this evening in your Bible reading notes, as you read the Word of God on a daily basis, is the Word of God alive for you tonight? Or is it a case of just like reading a novel or reading some book? Or as your minister preaches at either of your churches, as the Word of God goes forth, does it run off you just like water of a duck's back? Or does the Word of God grip you? Does it grip you? I remember going to a friend's church, hearing the man of God. And as this man of God spoke, it gripped me because I'd never heard biblical teaching like this. And over the years, we've been privileged, you have been privileged in your churches to have this biblical preaching, the Word of God consistently. You know, folks, you and I will stand before the Lord. And I believe that we will give an account as to why we did not heed those who have been biblical in their teaching and their preaching to us. You know, John Knox recognized the pressure, recognized what God was asking him to do when he preached the Word of God. Here's what it says about Knox, that he was compelled, when he was compelled to preach, and anticipation, he locked himself in a room and he wept for days because he feared the seriousness of it. And friends, tonight, that's the seriousness of the Word of God. I fear before I speak. I fear as I get before God. I weep before God. Lord, will you lead me? And I wonder tonight, do we know that guidance? Do you know that guidance in your experience tonight? Maybe you're facing some difficulty. Maybe there's something, some pressure in your life tonight, and you know not where to turn. It could be a work situation. It could be a home situation. It could be a spiritual situation. Let me tell you, the guidance for the journey is found in the Word of God. We're on a journey tonight, aren't we? There's many twists, there's many turns, there's many ways that we would go, there's many changes that we would make, but we're on that journey. You know, sometimes on that journey, we're able to help someone. Maybe you've gone through a time of difficulty, and you've been relying on the Word of God. Somewhere on that journey, you've been able to turn to someone and say, look, here's how I proved God's Word. And so often that's a reality, isn't it? But in verse 9, not only was there guidance for the journey and the Word of God, but I believe that there was a guarantee by the Lord in verse 9. When the Lord said to him to go to Zarephath and to dwell there, behold, I have commanded a widow to feed you. Imagine. Here he was, folks. He was beside the brook Cherith. Supernaturally, powerfully, God sent ravens, that ravenous bird, that bird that had no time for its young, and yet supernaturally God provided this bird. He provided that little stream for water, the things that he needed. Can you imagine what this man was thinking? Oh, he was sent among the Baal worshippers to do them kindness and to receive kindness from them. The Lord said to him, listen, this widow will provide. May I tell you, she had no state benefits. She had nothing in her life that she could offer, really. It was supernaturally that God was going to take care of his child. And yet here Elijah is sent. You remember the story in Genesis chapter 22? Remember Abraham? Abraham took his son and away up Mount Moriah. The Lord said to him, Abraham, he says, I want you to give your son your only son. That was a lonely journey. That was a lonely journey. But you know, the word of God comes to us in strength. He looked around, that lamb was caught in the thicket. And as it's caught in the thicket, Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide, as it said to this day, or in another version of the Bible, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And so we can say with the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Isn't that tremendous this evening? That be, as we worship together in this service, as we have come together to seek the Lord, we know that he's here tonight by his presence. And we know that he's our helper. He's such a wonderful God tonight in every avenue of our lives. You know, Matthew's Gospel 21:22 gives us that promise by the Lord Jesus. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive them. Now, some people take that and just simply say, well, the Lord's going to answer my prayer. But listen, friend, there's conditions. God expects us to be in a place where we're right with him, where our lives have been given over to him, where our families are committed to him, where we are in that place with God that he can work in our lives and in our experience. The word that was promised. And as I said to the folks this morning, it's that same word that God is giving to us this evening. The same word, the word of the living God. So the word that was promised, but then in verses 10 to 14, we see the way that was planned. Now I want you to notice what Elijah did. We noticed this morning in verse 5 of the chapter that he went, he did what he was told, and he lived by the brook. And here in this verse, we find again in verse 10, he arose. He arose and went to Zarephath. This was some challenge, wasn't it? The journey that he was coming in, he was coming in simple, childlike faith. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I read stories, true stories, missionaries who have gone to the field and who have experienced the power of God in a marvelous way. And yet, that is because someone somewhere is praying. Someone is praying in faith. I remember hearing about a missionary. And this missionary had come home. She told the story. Was telling stories. And a little boy in the congregation with his ears open took it all in. And he kept praying for this missionary. And then she came home some years later. And one particular evening, the mother had marked in her Bible the way the wee boy had prayed. It was significant. Missionary came home, she told the story of how she was going along a pathway. A particular snake was there, and she wondered what she would do, and suddenly it vanished. And as she told that story and gave the date, the mother quietly looked her Bible. It was the night the child had prayed. Never underestimate your children. Never underestimate the boys and girls in your congregation. These are the men and women of tomorrow. Never underestimate your young people. Because, you know, these are the folks who in future years will carry the light of the gospel as we meet them in prayer. So he came, and here's this lady. Now, he doesn't meet this lady with carriage and horses. He doesn't meet her in a really vivid way. She was a poor lady. She was gathering sticks. I want you to imagine what it's like. It was just a few sticks. She was going to make that little fire. She was going to cook that little meal. porridge if you want, something like that. And the prophet did something. He asked for a scarce commodity. He said to her, listen, bring me a morsel of bread. Bring me some. As he called to her, and she said, look, here's all I have. Here's all I have. She had nothing left. You know, folks, this evening, this was a little quantity. But how often does God use very strange means for the accomplishment of his purpose? Something small. God takes that and he uses it for his glory. Maybe this evening you're a believer and you feel you have nothing to give to God, or what you do give, it's very simple. You know, God can take it and God can use it. God will. And that's what the Church of Jesus Christ is all about. It's about us together doing something in his name, whatever that task is, doing it for the glory and the honor of his name. And as Matthew's Gospel 10:42 tells us, and whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. My dear friend, this evening, the reward in doing service for God may not be recognized in this world, may not be recognized even by a church, may not be recognized by anyone, but you know, it's recognized by the Lord. Maybe in a Sunday school class. Maybe in an organization. You're doing something that you feel, is that worthy? I tell you, that's worthy. That's worthy. And God will use it for his honor and for his glory. Many of us, I'm sure many of you in this congregation, look back on your experience and you look back to faithfulness of people in your church. And they were faithful in what they did. It wasn't large, perhaps, but it was being faithful to the Lord. Look what it says in verse 12. And she said, as the Lord, your God. As the Lord, your God. Now, here's a lady, and she's living amongst these people who predominantly are worshiping Baal. And yet she says, your God. I wonder, did she recognize in Elijah the man of God? Let me ask you, parent. Do your children see Christ in you? Grandmother or granda tonight, do they see Jesus in you? Leader, do they see Jesus in you? Now, when I ask you that question, I ask myself the same question. There is absolutely no point in me standing here and speaking the Word of God if others do not see Christ in me, the hope of glory. You see, it's our testimony. It's the reality of our living. The folks that you work with, the folks you brush shoulders with, they're not looking at an old crotchety James Lamont, I trust. They're looking at someone who emulates, who shows the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your God. I wonder, is that reality in your life tonight? Is he your God tonight? Do you know him in that superlative way this evening? You know, as she turns to the prophet, the prophet then turns to her, and he says, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. And then he asks her to make for himself first. Go and do as you're going to do. Go and do as you say. Don't fear. My dear friend, we're living in a world of fear, isn't it? Many people are fearful for one reason or another. But yet she was going to obey the prophet. She was obeying the Lord and what he asked her to do. You know, when we turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, we see a situation where Moses is handling the battle, and the words come, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. That is the word of God this evening. It's the word of God that makes the mark upon the people within our churches. And it's to that end, folks, that we have got to come and we have got to pray much in these days that the Spirit of the Lord will indeed be gracious, will anoint the ministers, the ministry of the word, that many will hear the word of God. Isn't that what happened in 1859? In this very village. It was the word of God. It was the word of God in the province of Ulster. It wasn't gimmicks. It was the word of the living God. When you read the history of revival, you read of people walking from Ballymena to Ahochel. And as they walked and they plucked branches along the road, the conviction of the Lord came. Why? Because the ministers were proclaiming the word of God. And I tell you something. We've got to pray much for our ministers, that the Lord will uphold them, that the Lord will bless them, that the Lord will anoint them. And as the word is preached, that they may see much for the glory of the Lord. But we must hurry on. Yes, we have thought of the word that was promised and the way that was planned. But think of the comfort that God supplied in this chapter. In verse 14 of the chapter, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Supernatural supply. Thank God, until the day that he comes, the day that cloud bursts and Jesus returns, there is still that supernatural power tonight. Maybe in this service you've come along and you don't know whether you're truly born again of the Spirit of God tonight. You don't really know where you stand. Let me say this. It's the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit that draws you to Christ. It's not my words this evening. It's God, and God alone through the word will draw you. That supernatural supply that God provides for us. But think of the verse 15 of the witness that was provided in verse 15. And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. She was standing on that divine promise. She acted on what she was told. You remember Jesus at the raising of Lazarus in John 11 and 40. Did I not say to you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? The glory of God. My dear friend, isn't that what we're looking for today? The glory of the Lord. That we might see many coming to Christ, that we might see the church built up, that we might see people rejoicing in that fact, that we're standing on that divine promise of God. And as that divine promise of God comes to us, we can be strengthened on a daily basis. You see, the word tells us that this lady had food for the household on a daily basis. What food that was. And you know, we have that food tonight within the word of God. We should treasure it this evening. We should be thrilled as we hear it being preached upon, because this is the witness that God has provided. His word, it will never, never, never in a million years ever diminish. And just as this woman was provided, so God provides for us this evening. But the last little thought is this. The work that we can ponder for ourselves. We thought of the word that was promised and the way that was planned. The witness that was provided. But think of the work that we can ponder. There was that provision by the Lord. As verse 16 tells us, the jar of flour was not spent, neither the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. The supply was always there. This was the provision of the Lord. This is his provision for you this evening. His provision within the precious word of God. But you know, there was that power. That power, it says, according to the word of the Lord. In those 16 verses, several times that's mentioned. It's emphasized again and again and again. The word of the Lord. the power of the Lord. And this was shown in the word that was given to the prophet. John MacArthur, Dr. John MacArthur, in his book on preaching, says this: when preachers neglect God's word, they undermine the work of the Holy Spirit, producing shallow conversions and spiritually lame Christians, if not utterly spurious ones. And I'm convinced tonight that it's only the Word of God, in all its fullness and in all its power, brings souls to Christ. It's only that Word to the believer tonight. Standing on that Word makes us strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's what Paul said to the church. It's only that power tonight that we can depend on, not only for life, but for death and throughout the endless ages of the eternity. In a book called Beyond the Ranges, written by Mrs. Howard Taylor, an overseas missionary fellowship book, it tells the story of James Fraser, who was a missionary with the China Inland Mission. And he was in an area of tribespeople who had never heard the gospel preached to them. One Lazu man responded to the invitation to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. And Fraser found that he had the Gospel of Mark. And 5 years before, Fraser had been handing out these free copies of the Gospel of Mark in the city. And this man's little son and a friend picked up one of those little books. They couldn't read it, but they took it home to the father who lived in the mountains. He read it over and over and over again, and he felt the drawing power of the Holy Spirit to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And from Fraser's conversation with this man, he was convinced that the man had truly put his trust in Christ. And the book says this significantly: this impressed Fraser with the power of God's word to work in the heart of mankind. Yes, it is God's word alone. It's not something that we of ourselves can produce. But this mighty power of God in the life of those of us who are Christians, not just to read it, but to study it, to praise God for it, and to believe that through that word, the Lord will bring to Himself those whom He wishes to save. We've got to pray to that end in these days, folks. It's not easy. And some of us look back. We look back to mighty times. And we can see very, very quickly that there are those who are opposed on every avenue to the Word of God. But let's hold on to this fact. He is God. And beside Him, there is none else. Amen.